Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Lord Vishnu, Madhusudana, was very pleased. Thus, he resumed his original form and spoke as follows. Purport. Although Lord Shiva was aghast at the potency of Lord Vishnu, he did not feel ashamed. Rather, he was proud to be defeated by Lord Vishnu. Nothing is hidden from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is in everyone's heart. Indeed, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya jaham riddhisani visto matat smirtir gyanam apoenam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Whatever had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality Godhead, whatever happened had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there was no cause to be sorry or ashamed. Although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he was proud that he had such an exalted and powerful master. End of purport. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Bande Ham Shiguro Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Thiruvischa Kripa Sindhu Vaibhacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So very pretty what we might say unique section of the Bhagavatam. Very unique in the sense that we're seeing something that usually doesn't happen. Lord Shiva, who is a very powerful controller, he's one of the Mahajans. He's also in the position of a demigod. He's also an aspect of the personality of Godhead. And he's also known as Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the best of all Vaishnavas. It's a powerful personality. And he has his own sampradaya also, the Rudra Sampradaya. Here it's mentioning how he was, we might say the word was defeated or bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself. He, Lord Shiva, wanted to see a particular form of the Lord. And the Lord granted his request. Of course, the Lord at first discouraged him, saying, you don't really want to see this form. But Shiva was so interested that what had bewildered both the devas and the demigods in the most amazing way, the beautiful form of a woman who was actually Krishna himself, Mohini Murti. So Shiva, hearing about the activities or that particular incident, wanted to get a little darshan. But his darshan proved to be something different than what he expected. He was completely overwhelmed by the beauty of the Lord and lost all his senses. Now that doesn't happen to Lord Shiva, because he's a, you know, he's, they say, the living entities have 78% of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are Jiva, and therefore we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but our part and parcel is not quantitatively. It's qualitatively, but in a minute form of quality. Not as great or unlimited in the qualities, but the qualities are there. But those qualities are only 78%, not 100%. And that's nicely explained in the Nectar of Devotion, where these qualities are listed. But it says, at most, when one becomes what we say perfect, one can achieve 78% of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in minute quantity. But Lord Brahma, he achieves that. And Lord Shiva, he's even a step farther. He goes to 84%. He has some of the, he has qualities that the ordinary Jiva doesn't have. In fact, he is so powerful, he has his own abode, not in the spiritual world and not in the material world. It's in between. It's called Maheshdham. And in Brahma Samhita, we hear that there are three dhams, Devi Dham, Hari Dham, and Mahesh Dham. Devi Dham is this place, the material world. Hari Dham is the spiritual world. And Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash, which is in between the spiritual world and the material world. As one goes outside of the coverings of the material layers, one comes through a very dark portion of that existence. And beyond that dark portion, just beyond that, there is light. And that light is the beginning of the Brahma Jyoti. In there, Lord Shiva has his abode. So, and he has his own sampradaya. Many people worship Lord Shiva. They chant his mantras. They worship him. They do pujas to him. He has great followings everywhere in existence. So you can imagine what we might say spiritual prestige he has. He's great in all sense of the word. But here, his greatness is being, what we say, minimized by the presence of Krishna. Sometimes people ask, well, you know, who is the supreme? Is it Shiva or is it Vishnu? But in the Brahma Samhita, it says that just like milk, when it comes in contact with some tamarind or some, let me see, acidic potion, it can change itself into yogurt. Now, so Shiva is practically on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a great personality, but not the same. Not the same. And you go to Sri Mayapur Dham, there's one place called Harihara Kshetra, right? And there's a deity of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu into one. And half the deity's form, it's a small deity, it's about this big. Half the deity is black and half is white, and it's down the middle, so the white side and the black side. So the white side, of course, is Shiva, and the black side is the Lord, or Vishnu. So how close he is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yeah, he's made to look pretty, what we say, ordinary in this pastime. It says that when he saw the beautiful form of Mohini Murti, he lost all his senses, and he started chasing after that form. So much so that it was a pretty humiliated situation wherein his followers were doing puja. There was a group of Shivites. They were worshiping Lord Shiva. And then, during the worship, all of a sudden, they see this lady running, and then their worshipful Lord chasing after him. You could imagine what they would think. Their guru, their worshipful deity, is being worshipped by them, and there he goes chasing after a woman in the middle of the worship they're doing. But Shiva wasn't even, he was completely, what you might say, unaware of everything else. He simply became, what we say, attracted. Now we understand that Krishna is, you know, all attractive. That's his main quality. Out of all the qualities of Krishna, his main quality is that he can attract anyone at any time. And here he's showing that potency by attracting Lord Shiva. And Shiva, although he's embarrassed by the situation in one sense, this verse kind of brings about an interesting expression of how he's feeling. When one's defeated, there's a sense of what we say unhappiness or sense of shame that comes by being defeated. And we see that in many cases when fighters fight on the battlefield, sometimes they're defeated. There's a sense of shame that has come, especially if one is defeated by someone who is either equal or lesser. Then the shame is even much, much greater. But Shiva's not only unashamed, he's pleased. He's pleased to be defeated because he knows that it's his worshipful Lord, Lord Vishnu. And therefore, Prabhupada said, there's nothing to be sorry or ashamed about. Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, but he's defeated by Lord Vishnu. Or, we might say, Krishna, in the form manifested as Lord Vishnu. What is our position in this material world? There is a potency called Maya, and she's very powerful. Krishna wanted to demonstrate how powerful Maya is by using himself as an example of bewilderment. When in Sri Vrindavan Dham, when Krishna was in performing his pastimes with his cowherd boys, they would play and they would do all kinds of games and they would play so much that they would forget about eating, forget about everything else. Now Kamsa, knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born and had heard from others that he was staying in Vrindavan, was sending demons one after another to Sri Vrindavan. So he sent this one very mystical and powerful demon known as Agasura, who took the form of a snake. And he wanted to attract Krishna and the cowherd boys into his mouth so he could kill Krishna. So lying down on the path near where the boys and Krishna were playing, he opened his mouth very wide and said his mouth was 1 mile high. Huge demon. And the boys, at one point during their play, they looked and they saw this big, powerful, what they thought at first was a cave. And then they realized, no, it's actually a demon. And they thought, well, you know, let's go play inside his mouth. Looks like a cave. We usually play in caves anyway. But they were, some were saying, no, no. But others were saying, that's all right. Krishna will save us. Don't worry. So unbeknownst to Krishna, at least it appears to be, as it was, he says in the pastime, they slipped away and ran into the mouth of this demon. And then Krishna, realizing his friends had gone, turned around and saw this whole scene. And then it said Krishna became bewildered. The acharya is right that. Why did Krishna somehow or other become bewildered, or apparently bewildered? He does these things sometimes just to teach that the power of Maya. Prabhupada used to tell us, he would say this a few times, not just once. The problem with you Western disciples is you don't fear Maya enough. That's one of the things he'd say to us. You don't have a healthy fear of Maya. A devotee by nature or by devotee by consciousness is fearless because they know they're protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, that sense of fearlessness manifests through one's bhakti, that knowing that Krishna is always there. And one of the qualifications for full surrender is knowing that Krishna is my only protector. Not just my protector, but my only protector. And Prabhupada used to say that. People would say, well, you know, I have my wealth, I have my position, I'm surrounded by so many successful family members. I have youth, I have popularity, but these things cannot save. I was listening to a tape yesterday, Prabhupada was saying, that some people say that if you have big muscles and you're very strong, then you can be a devotee. But if you're weak and, you know, you're on the other end, it doesn't work. You got to be strong to be a devotee. But Prabhupada then took that principle and said, no matter who you are, you may have so many, you know, big muscles and powerful and so much, but when time comes along, then that can't save you. In other words, nothing in the material world can save the conditioned soul except Krishna. He's called Mukunda, one who gives liberation. So that's the power of Maya is so strong that we're meant to be fearless because of Krishna's protection. But Prabhupada said a devotee should have a healthy fear of Maya. That if I play with Maya or not careful in the execution of my devotional service, then what would they say? Prabhupada said it's like shaving with a razor. And he says the razor is very sharp, and if one is a little inattentive, I think we have that experience sometimes, right? And you get a little careless, you start thinking about the wrong things while you're shaving. And then pretty soon you're back to reality again in a way you don't really want to be brought back. So, therefore, yeah, the inattention that comes with dealing with something that could cause what we say difficulty is the process of bhakti, because Prabhupada said Maya is everywhere and Krishna is in one place. He's right in front of you. And if you keep Krishna in front, Maya is in the back. But if you look to the left and you look to the right and you go behind, and Maya is everywhere. There's that verse, you know, that Krishna is there and Maya is everywhere else. So therefore, a devotee knows that I should be very, very conscious in my execution of devotional service, because a little slip. We have the story of Ajamil, right? Good example. Ajamil was trained very nicely. The brahmacharis did the story of Ajamil for the Janmashtami festival this year. Did everybody see it? It was done quite good. Where's Ajamil? He's here. There he is. Jai, Ajamil. And I heard later on by others that they really thought he played his part well. Ajamil was really good. I heard that a few times. So, and he was, because in my opinion, he was a real serious Ajamil. Played it really good. And we saw from that, and this is why this is placed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, for two reasons. One, to show the power of Krishna's holy name, and one, to show just how, you know, a little inattention in spiritual life can cause one to be distracted. And even if one doesn't take up the process of material activities, still, when the mind gets distracted and disturbed, then one's Krishna consciousness is lost. And then to regain it again may be a great struggle. So, therefore, in that particular pastime, we see such qualifications and such training, but Maya's there. So, Maya's very strong. So Shiva, he wasn't seeing Maya, he was seeing Yoga Maya. But it appeared to be something different than what it actually was. He completely lost his intelligence. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Dayate visayam pumsam teshu sangat sanjayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodha bijayate, krodha bhavati samoham, samoham shriti ri brahma, shriti brahmso burinasa, burinasa panashiti. This is a very, what we say, important verse, two verses, 262 and 3 in the second chapter of Gita, where it says, by contemplating the objects of the senses, lust develops. And from lust, anger, from anger, delusion, from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, panashati, one falls again down into the material consciousness, the material world. Sometimes devotees use the word bloop. When the soul falls into the material world, it makes the sound going bloop. Like that. So don't bloop. So one has to be very, what we say, conscious that, you know, a little deviation in consciousness can cause one to be bewildered, and then one can again take up material activities and lose the opportunity for pure devotional service. So the process is very subtle. So we learn how powerful Maya is. Of course, this is Yoga Maya, but Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same energy. They're the same. It's one personality, Yoga Maya, who manifests herself for the non-devotees as Mahamaya. These are not two personalities, they're two energies of the same original energy of the Shakti energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that manifests to hide the Supreme Personality of Godhead and create the mood of Leela with the devotees, where the Lord can perform his pastimes with his loving devotees in a mood of friendship, parental affection, conjugal. In other words, the Lord performs his activities and he's covered as the Supreme Personality in order to increase his loving relationships with his devotees. And that's for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. And he likes that very much. So in the mood in Vrindavan Dham, Krishna is not seen as God. He is seen as the beautiful boy of Vrindavan who attracts the hearts of everyone. And even if they know he's God, they do, but they don't really want to think about it. They think they only see him in the loving way that they serve him, either as friends or as parents or as conjugal love. This is the love of the devotee for the Lord and the Lord's reciprocation. But in the material world, that same energy that creates loving pastimes with the Lord in different ways is manifested as Mahamaya. Prabhupada would use the example, you take electricity is one energy, and you plug a refrigerator into that, you get cooling. And if you plug a heater into that socket, you get heating. It's the same energy. So depending on the receptacle or depending on the consciousness of the receiver, the energy manifests either to reveal Krishna through his pastimes in a sweet and loving way, or to hide Krishna from the non-devotees and to create this idea that material sense gratification is happiness. That's the bewildering side of the Maya energy. So devotees don't take advantage of the material energy by flaunting the material energy always very careful to keep the material energy at bay by keeping one's consciousness fixed on Krishna, on devotional service. And Prabhupada said, you're either in Maya or you're in Krishna. So consciousness is the medium for connecting to either one of those energies. Prabhupada said, you can be Krishna conscious in 1 second if you just fully absorb your consciousness. And it may take millions of years or millions of lifetimes even to become fully Krishna conscious if the consciousness still is dragged towards the material energy. So Shiva, he's not unhappy to be defeated. In fact, he is glorious. And to be defeated by such a glorious master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's exalted in that sense. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki Jai Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. I remember I was talking about Mohini Murti one time in Chaupati in Bombay. And somebody asked the question, can we establish Mohini Murti deities in our temple? I thought, it might not be so good for the brahmacharis. I don't know what kind of puja they would do or how they would actually visualize this particular manifestation of Krishna. So I just referred his question to the GBC, so I didn't want to deal with it directly. So you get questions like that. So the material energy is powerful. And the most powerful form of the material energy is attracted to the beauty of the opposite sex. One loses all intelligence. Either one gets attracted and the men get attracted to the woman gets attracted to the man, and we forget about the real attraction or the source of that attraction, which is Krishna himself. And that attraction simply leads one to suffering. Suffering. It's only suffering. There's no other way, because material energy cannot fulfill one's desires. It can only bewilder one thinking that it can cause happiness. Therefore, we can learn from this example here by Lord Shiva that, you know, Maya is very powerful. And therefore, one has to focus. That's why Krishna comes in his beautiful transcendental forms, simply to attract our attention like that. We take darshan, but one of the things that darshan provides for us is a constant remembrance of that transcendental form throughout the day. By remembering Krishna in the morning in his beautiful form, he's dressed so beautifully with wonderful garland all the way down to his lotus feet, playing the flute. The pujaris, under the guidance of Krishna, dress him accordingly. Krishna likes to dress nicely for the pleasure of his devotees, like that. So he does that for the devotees' pleasure, and he also does it for his own transcendental pleasure, too. Everything Krishna does is for pleasure. Even if he kills the demons, that's pleasurable for both the demons and him, because he likes to kill demons, and demons get benefit by being killed by Krishna. So Krishna doesn't do anything other than something for the pleasure of the living entities. So taking darshan means using your mind as a camera. Of course, we have a lot of cameras now, right? Cell phones you can take cameras with, and iPads you can take cameras with, and everything is a camera now, right? But take the camera of the mind and click a picture in the morning, and then throughout the day, refer back to that picture. And if you can keep the picture in your mind, then that's perfection. Because it says when one is thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are no longer influenced by the material energy. And Krishna comes in the form of his name and his beautiful transcendental form. And both are powerful and competent enough to absorb the consciousness of the Lord, of the living entity in the Lord, like that. So, wonderful pastime. We could speak so much about Lord Shiva and how he was so delighted to be, what we say, defeated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you think about it, when someone is so powerful and so respected, and then they're apparently put in a shameful condition, they would feel less happy or even embarrassed. But Shiva was not. That's amazing when you think about how he was not even slightest embarrassed by the whole situation. In fact, he was proud. I have been defeated by my own worship of Lord Krishna. He's not thinking, oh, what my followers are going to think about me, or, you know, this is the first time this ever happened, or... He's happy. Because to be defeated by the Supreme Lord means to be victorious. We want to be defeated by Krishna, because we're usually defeated by Maya. So you have to choose which one you want to be defeated by. Getting defeated by Maya means you lose. I mean, what do you lose? You lose the opportunity for eternal happiness and knowledge. And you're forced to, again, continue in this cycle of suffering in this material world. That's real defeat. And that's humiliating, and that's what we say. We say something that should be avoided at all costs. But to be defeated by Krishna, one is victorious. Because Krishna defeat means he captures our attention and brings our consciousness to pure devotional service. So, Lord Shiva. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Adi Guru.